Welcome to Off the Board. In this podcast, we sit down with key figures of the cornhole community to talk about current events, insights, and the future of this booming sport. Off the Board is hosted by Jaime Sanchez and myself, Raul Chavez, and is brought to you by Buffalo Boards. Hello, Buffalo Nation. Welcome to Off the Board Podcast. I'm your host, Raul Chavez.
Hey, guys. I'm your co-host, Jaime Sanchez, and we're here at the Buffalo headquarters.
Today, we have one of our special guests and good friend, Eric.
Thanks, Raul. Thanks, Jaime, for having us here. My name is Eric Verduzco, and I'm the executive director for a local nonprofit here in the Houston area called Pour Into Houston. So we appreciate you guys having us on.
All right.
And as gratitude, brought you a little present.
Oh, nice present.
We
like presents.
I'm sure y'all like presents. Yeah, special for you. I would have brought one for Billy, but he didn't want to be on today, so.
So he don't get one now.
He gets nothing. Just a little swag pack that our marketing team put together for y'all.
I appreciate it, appreciate it.
And you got the right size, too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I figured y'all were smaller than I am, so.
Warranty Houston, thank y'all so much, guys.
There you go. Yeah, so I expect to see those shirts on ESPN one day soon.
We would definitely wear those shirts.
Thank you, guys. So we really do appreciate you having us on.
Those are also some of my favorite colors, Astros colors.
I know. Right? That's the reason. I had a little say-so on the
Houston,
next colors.
Got to represent Houston. Where
we
at?
Yeah, we have different styles, but that's my favorite one.
Nice. Astros colors. So, Eric, we have you on the podcast, obviously, because, one, you're an interesting person here in the cornhole community. You're a cornhole player and a very fast-rising cornhole player. And then also, you know, the nonprofit that you represent is something that we definitely want to promote.
Right, definitely. I appreciate that, guys, a lot.
Not a problem. How long have you been playing cornhole, Eric?
Well, honestly, I picked up my first set of boards thanks to a friend of mine. You guys might know him, John Hargrove.
Yep.
He's been telling me great guy, probably one of the nicest guys I know. And he's been telling me, you know, I was a washer player for years. And he'd been telling me for 5 years at least, come play, you'll be good, come play. And believe it or not, I'd be like, cornhole's dumb, cornhole's stupid, cornhole's for girls, cornhole's for kids, there's no strategy to, you know, anyone. And look at me now. So he made me eat my words. But yeah, he introduced me. He's been, you know, we played in the backyard and, you know, barbecues, but nothing serious like he had. He thought he'd always show me his collection of bags and all this other stuff. But yeah, it was really at the end of last year. And then in January, I talked to John Florian with the Buckets League here.
Yeah.
You know, I met him in November, and in January I joined his league and played in my first tournament with RB in January and made my first trip to Buffalo in January. So January I really started. It's been 5 months, really.
Damn, January was a busy month for you, man.
Yeah, it was busy. Don't tell my boss.
Life
changing. Don't tell my boss. You don't know where I was on Saturday in January. Why do you have so much PTO on your calendar?
Yeah. Well, Eric, with that being said, I mean, like I said, now that the season, I mean, you just started 5 months ago, like you said, did you have any goals going into the season or when you first started playing cornhole?
Try to keep two bags on the board.
At all times?
At all times, to keep them on the board. I mean, it really was just to get a feel for the game, learn the strategy, try to pick up as many pointers and advice that I could from, you know, you guys, the advanced players, and get to know everybody in the community, just get a feel for it, and just, you know, get introduced. Just like most everybody, I'm sure, you know, I was hooked immediately.
Right.
Addicted to cornhole immediately and just soak up as much as I could and, you know, figure out my game and move forward with it.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of your game, what bags are you throwing?
On a regular basis, whatever my partner throws. I've been Buffalo, of course. My first set of bags was custom-made Tupacs. They remind me a little bit of the ambushes that you guys have.
But, oh, really?
Regularly, I throw cats, and a little bit of vipers. So I'm not a carpet guy. I can't throw flat. So.
Oh, okay. It sounds good. Like I said, well, I mean, with this season winding down, next season, as we know, it starts in September. I mean, what are your goals for next season?
You know, similar goals, just a different aspect to it is just keep improving every day. Keep improving. You know, I've been playing. I play in two leagues, so big shout out to Buckets out there. I play them on Thursdays, and McIntyre's with Mark, with you guys on Tuesdays. I don't know if I can do five leagues though.
Five.
That's a lot of leagues.
It gets tiring. It gets tiring. That it does.
I bet. And just keep playing as much as I can. Try to grow myself as a player, and just, you know, soak in and keep learning. So I'm looking forward to like Austin the next weekend. First big open, probably try to sign up and do the San Antonio conference. That'll be a good one. I don't know if I'm sold on the South Carolina yet, though. I don't think I'm ready for that big prime time. I mean, I do appreciate the compliments, but I still have a lot growing to do as a player. So that's really my goal, just to get the experience, you know, the remainder of the season. You know, I didn't even know anything about points and anything like that until, you know, midway into it. I started late, obviously, so I missed a few months. But just continue to grow as a player and then, you know, just get experience and become better.
So you recently just considered an advanced player, right?
That's what they say. I don't know. I've never heard that. You guys heard that? Is that Raul, the rumor?
Raul, you agree with that, don't you, huh? Well, this guy's an advanced player, huh?
He's definitely an advanced player, yes. you know, he's... So, 5 months, I mean, that just blows my mind because, I mean, we've been playing for 2 years and we weren't at that level in 5 months. We really weren't.
Right.
What would you say, you know, got you there?
Yeah, you asked me. A lot of people have asked me that. You know, people that I started playing with at the same time asked me that. They're like, hey, man, how'd you improve so quick? I mean, there's different aspects or different answers to it, I think. But my answer is, you know, depending on what your background is. Like me throwing washers, that, you know, that helped my game because it was similar – you know, hand-eye coordination. I talk to people that transition over from bowling, that used to throw darts, that you'd pull. You know, this our game is a lot mental. You guys know that. It's mostly mental.
Oh, yeah.
You know, figuring out the physical aspect of it, most of it's strategy. So, it's, you know, you're comparing checkers to chess sometimes when you're playing with that. But I think most people that play any sport, you know, they transition over. If you talk to most of the players, they come from some kind of background. Mm-hmm. Someone doesn't just never played anything before and picked them up. They have some kind of, you know, they like to compete. They like to play league. So, you know, I think having a washer background and horseshoes as well when I was younger, that kind of helped out a little bit. The other aspect is, you know, I see a lot of people switching bags all the time.
Right.
You know, I know you do have to switch bags with the board conditions, outdoor, indoor, they slow down, et cetera. But finding a bag that you master that bag, master every shot, and then increase your game. You know, so that's what's helped me improve so much.
So my belief is that cornhole is not hard to get good at fast. Now, I don't – like for you, I'm not saying that the growth that you had was a fluke or anything, because it's not. You put in the work, but somebody putting in the work in cornhole, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's easy to get good fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I guess
I'm not saying advanced good, but right. I mean,
no. I mean, but it's like anything else. You pick it up. It's put in the work, like you say. But my first goal was to keep them on the board.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then my next goal is, you know, and you guys understand every level, it's about being consistent.
Yeah.
Consistently put two in the hole, consistently put three, score nines, tens, et cetera. You know, and it's just reaching that level and getting to that level, but being consistent and putting in the work for it. So it's a building block like anything else. Put in the work, and you said it.
I mean, I've seen guys that have come into this game within a year and are advanced. And good advanced players, right? And so when you get to that point, it's all mental. Like you said, it's the stepping stones. And that's why, you know, for me, if you practice every day for 4 months, 5 months straight, you're going to get good.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
you're going to get good. And so, you know, when you get to that advanced level, right now, I mean, what do you think about that? Is it just mental for you right now?
Yeah, I think at this point, it's just really more mental and strategy, you know? And that's what I'm... enjoying and thankful for guys like you. Like Jaime plays with me on our Thursday league. He's not going to help me put it in the hole. I mean, that I have that down. Our players have that. At our level, have that down. It's what do you do when a player puts a blocker on you? Do you, because you got to think a shot ahead.
Right. You always airmail.
That's what he tells me. I wish my brother, you know, that's definitely why I'm not a high advanced player, because my airmail is lacking. I saw Billy put in four the other day. I was like, man, even Billy could put in four. Man, I got to practice.
Don't let him fool you. It don't happen often. Don't let him fool you.
We had to edit that.
Yeah.
To make it look like
that was like four. That was four different days all into one.
All in one. And we like said,
don't let him fool you.
Yeah. No, but and you mentioned, like, so people figure that out. High advanced players look at the strategy. You know, I've had players tell me afterwards, realize, hey, I know you're ML in that great, so we put a blocker on you. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to go shot for shot because they know that aspect of my game is stronger. So, and you guys do the same. You evaluate your opponent, you figure out. And that comes with experience, you know, being at these tournaments. I'm going to go to this Open, and I'm going to play against players I've never seen before. So I'm going to run over there and be like, hey, Jaime, can you tell me the lowdown on this guy? You know, it's kind of, and everybody does it. It's part of the game, but... Yeah, you get to a certain level, and above that, it's really everybody can put in the hole. Everybody can airmail.
So
it's just the strategy and consistency.
It's that competitive nature. You're always looking for some kind of advantage over your opponent. I mean, that's normal. I mean, Raul and I, we do it all the time. I mean,
that's right.
Some people don't realize it, but I mean, we should look at players before we play even play them, and we're like, okay, well, we already know how we're gonna beat them. I mean, we already know just by sometimes we know just by looking at each other. Okay, well, we know what I got to do, what you got to do, or even the game before. I mean, Raul can be hot. Like, I mean, these past two weekends, if he's hot and he's making his air mails, my job is to, I just got to just wash from my side. And I know he's going to take care and do his scoring. And then vice versa. So, I mean, that's like, that's where the chemistry comes in. That's where the chemistry comes in that, I mean, as far as having a good doubles partner. Do you, with that being said, do you play doubles?
See, and that's where I'm getting to at the point is, you know, so obviously John Hargrove, big shout out to my buddy, and you know, Doug Maxwell, those guys are the kind of welcomed me in when they were advanced level, higher competitive before I even started.
Right.
They said, you have it, and they kind of took me in apart. You know, a lot of people won't do that.
Right.
You know, like yourself, partner. You know, a lot of people would say, no, I want to throw an advanced partner. They want to throw with somebody at the same level, but they they took me under their shoulder and say, hey, come here, and coach me along, and now I'm playing just as good as them. And so I'm looking for, you know, that comes a long way with you guys. You know, you guys, how long have you been playing together? A year?
2 years.
About 2 years.
So it takes a long time to build that chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of looking, you know, I've been, you know, I've won a lot of blind draws with different partners and try different. I'd like to find that continuous partner. So hey, anyone out there looking?
there you go.
I'm looking.
Promoting
I'm looking
for, himself.
There you go, Buffalo Nation. That's we got an up and coming player needs an advanced partner.
No, I'm looking for. Hey, no offense, Robert. Robert's my partner for the Open. So I'm looking. I know he's a good player.
Oh yeah.
I've always played against him, competing.
Oh yeah.
I've always been at battle. So, and I'm looking for a player that throws the same way I do. You
know, right.
That's a shooter that doesn't throw carpet, obviously, because that's a big play too.
Right.
When you and your partner don't throw the same bags. Yeah. That's a game changer. So yeah, we're looking, you know, just try to be where you guys are at.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, when you reach that level, how often are you practicing?
Really, I mean, people ask me that. I mean, honestly, you know, I have a full time job. I got porn in Houston as well, so my practice is league nights.
League nights.
You know, I'll get there. I don't even set up my own boards. I don't set them up in the backyard. League nights, and you know, get early, throw a couple throws, try to get there 30 minutes early. That's really my practice.
Practice
league nights, just to prepare for the weekend and the tournaments, and then
right
forward. But yeah, I don't practice at all.
Okay.
That's hard to believe, I'm sure. But I come up to Buffalo every once in a while and throw around.
Yeah. In these 5 months that you've been playing, is there like a pro player that you look up to or that you consider your game that's similar to one of these pro players that you see on ESPN? Well, obviously, like saying, here, like you mentioned, that Austin Open, I mean, you're going to see a lot of pro players there.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, this is all part of the development. I didn't even know you could watch ACL Live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was introduced to all these things in the last few months, you know, learning about the points, the ACL, et cetera. You know, I'm a big football fan, so I love football. I try to play football. Obviously, I'm not physically gifted to play football, so I could never go pro, but I study the game, love it, watch tape. You know, I used to watch NFL Network for hours, so now it's transitioning. Like, whoa, I can watch these players, you know, and watch these pros. So I'm still getting familiar with who the pros are, but – I mean, consistency. So one day I'd like to play with Jaime and Raul. You know, guys. no, I mean, I really don't know one. I mean, because they throw all differently.
And, right.
And, you know, they all have a consistent air melt, which I don't have. So I'd love to get a partner that can help me elevate the air melt game. That's why I've always asked both of you guys. And you give me, you know, very similar, most advanced players, how to work on that. But I don't know. I mean, locally I've talked to PJ. Ricky G, I've talked to him a lot, you know, messaged him and et cetera. So I admire those guys. More of the local guys, the guys that can shake hands. And that's something I learned in the game, man. Everybody, it doesn't matter. I can't sit down and talk to a professional basketball player, you know, if I'm in the backyard. But I can have a podcast with you guys, and you guys are just like everyday people. That's why you're very admired in the community. But every pro that I've talked to is the same way. AJ Sims, you know, we're doing a tournament with him, and, you know, he did smoke us and put up about 11 on him, but he sat back and said, hey, you guys threw well, gave us some advice while we were throwing, even in the rounder section. So, you know, every pro I've ever talked to, but just kind of following you guys' footsteps, just keep it humble and bring up and grow the sport and bring everybody along.
So let me ask you, do you know what Crew Cup is?
I do. I played Crew Cup twice.
Okay. So you know the rules and regulations and all that. Yeah. Who would your dream Crew Cup be?
My dream cook, so I'm competitive, right? Because I'm still competitive. But
this guy's still on a competitive.
Yeah, no.
So let's say state.
Are we talking about player? Like state, anybody. Any pros?
Any
pros.
Anybody. I mean, we have the conference, or we have an open in Austin.
Man, I just watched the, you know, Birchfield and Holland go in a war.
Oh, man,
so
yeah.
If I could just throw it back to them and you know, get AJ Sims in there, man, that'd be a great crew cup.
That'd be a really good crew cup.
Oh, yeah. I just, tough team.
Yeah, I just sit back and throw them, try to keep them on the board.
Let them do the rest.
Yeah, let them do the work. Just throw it back to them.
So you said that South Carolina is probably not going to happen for you this year?
I wouldn't say not 100%, but I'm kind of more focused on the conference and the Open just to get the experience. I mean, I might. I don't know. I love to travel. So, you know, we travel for football games. We love to travel and make a weekend out of it. But never been to South Carolina before.
So for everybody who doesn't know, South Carolina, you're going to qualify to become a pro. Any regular Joe, you know, can sign up for it. It's a progressive round by round system. You'll play eight rounds, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's eight rounds.
Eight rounds. And if you have a good enough record and point differential, you become a pro. You know, the top 32 will become pro. So that's what we're asking, Eric. Obviously, you're still very young in your career. Yeah. So if you did it this year, it'd be a great experience. But you wouldn't necessarily be mad if you didn't make pro.
Not at all. I'm not even going to be disappointed if we don't do well in Austin or the conference, because it's Robert's first time. And I don't know, but I do play doubles, but I feel so much more confident in singles.
Singles?
It's just because the pressure. So if I'm playing with a player, like let's say when I'm playing with you,
right?
You know, I know you're a more advanced player than I am, so I feel pressure on myself to throw, and I might rush a throw or something because I'm trying not to let you down. And then if I play with an intermediate player or somebody, I feel pressure on myself to score more points and bring them up. So
just carry them.
I feel pressure on both sides of it. Trust me, I enjoy it. I love it, but I just feel more relaxed in singles. So. I would like to go to South Carolina just to see how we do in that, because I'm assuming it's the same format where whatever tier you end up in, that's how you play the rest of the weekend, even in singles.
Yeah, in Austin it's the same thing. Yeah. Play six games and you'll get your tier.
I'm not 100% out of it, but you know, I want to see how we're doing in Austin and then San Antonio.
It'll be a great evaluation.
It's all it is, where I sit, where I stand, how we did, things, lessons learned that I can improve, and then that'll be for next season. I plan to be in every event, so I'm coming everywhere.
There you go.
And that leads up to my next question. You know, what are your future goals for the 2021-22 season?
I mean, that right there is just to get the experience this year, which is about to end up, and then just to elevate my game and become a real advanced upper advanced player. And then, yeah, ultimately, I'd love to be a pro. I keep telling everybody, that, hey, look for me. I'm going to be on ESPN one day. You're going to see Pointy Houston. You're going to see Houston on the map on ESPN. I mean, that would be the ultimate dream, obviously. And I think that's everybody's dream that plays competitive cornhole is to ultimately make it, because what you said, what's the ACLs? Anyone can play. Anyone can win. Yeah. You know, anyone can sign up. And obviously, you got to be consistent at it and in order to make it a pro. But – you know, we weren't all gifted to be 6'8", you know, 350 middle linebackers or centers.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I know you got a nasty three-pointer, though.
Sorry, everybody can't look like me. You
right?
know?
Not everybody can look like Roll over here or as fast as Jaime. But, no, I mean, this is, you know, that's the ultimate goal, is to love to be pro. But anything along the way is just to help the sport grow, learn as much as I can. And if you're not having fun, I mean, you're going to be good at something.
Right,
if you're having
fun.
And you're gonna have fun if you're good at it. You know, that's how kind of life goes. If you're successful at something, you're gonna enjoy it. So as long as I'm having fun and meeting great people, that's the other thing about the community. The cornhole community is probably my favorite part. Like I said, I played washer for so many years, and the community is the same. It's just much smaller. Obviously, this sport is nationwide. It's growing so much, all over the country. So I've met so many people, but the community, the family, that's what I call it. You know, the cornhole family, because in the community people are interacting, you see the same people, but you spend so much time if you're involved in the community,
right.
Like you guys are. So, you know, and we all support each other, we love each other. That's one part I love. You know, a lot of people that I've never even really know, I met one time, is like, oh my god, we're cheering for you, we hope you do well. And that encourages you as a player, it gives you a lot of love. I'm sure I've talked to you guys about it, like it just motivates you.
Motivates you.
You're not just playing for yourself, you're playing for your city, for your cornhole league, you know. And everybody supports each other. I know there's competition, but healthy competition, where we just all want to be better and we want to make each other better. So
right.
That, as long as I'm involved with the great community, with great people, I'm going to keep playing.
So obviously you're passionate about cornhole.
Yeah.
You have definitely big goals and dreams, and just like everybody else that plays competitive cornhole, let's kind of talk about the T-shirts that you're wearing, the Pour Into Houston. Tell me what that's about.
Oh, my favorite part. No, so Poor into Houston is a local nonprofit here in the Houston area that I've been involved with. We're a very young organization. We started in 2017. Nice. We focus on providing mental health care services for people in need in the community. So our focus areas are anxiety, depression, suicide awareness and prevention, PTSD for veterans. As you guys know, I'm a veteran as well.
Right.
So that's how I got introduced to the organization, was just from partnering with other veterans organizations that gave back to the community. So I was led to Pour into Houston and joined the organization about 2 years ago. With our previous executive director, she was growing the organization and heading in a certain direction, but COVID changed everything for us. So, nonprofits took the biggest hit last year due to the funding. So we don't take, we're not a foundation, so we don't take federal funding. All our funding comes from fundraising events like cornhole tournaments. Happens to be shameless plug there. We're having one in November. Everybody look out for it on your calendar. It's going to be a big collab between all the organizations and the leaders. And I know you guys have expressed interest in supporting us. We'd love to have you there. But yeah, so we have fundraising events. We do outreach community events with the community. Like we just had an event last weekend where we had a partnership and happened to be a cornhole tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of throw those in as much as I can. So.
Oh, no, I mean, that's exactly why we're here. I mean, like I said, you're an uprising cornhole player, but then also, you know, just talking to you, we had no idea that you were so big into this nonprofit.
Right.
And, I'm not saying that makes you more interesting, but I mean, it makes other people want to help you. You know, whenever they know that a person of your caliber, I mean, you're just a stand-up guy, and so people want to help. You know, the organization that you want to help, the nonprofit.
Right, and you know, it's like you guys said before, you represent a brand. You're representing yourselves when you go to every tournament, but you're also representing a brand. I'm the executive director, so I'm representing Poor into Houston everywhere I go. And just want to let people know, mostly more awareness, you know. People said I should have been in sales because I'm out there just promoting, you know, talking.
Right,
everybody.
Yeah.
But it's just, I feel passionate about Poor into Houston just like I do with cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as you do. You know, we all have a passion, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to tie both of them together. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on here, allowing me to talk about, not myself necessarily, but Poor into Houston, organization, and how that I'm fortunate because I get to spend my weekends doing something I enjoy doing while I'm promoting the organization, which I would have been doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
2017, that's when it started.
Right.
The nonprofit. And so from whenever it was originated, did y'all start throwing cornhole tournaments?
So I didn't join the organization until a year and a half later.
Okay.
And ironically, was at a cornhole tournament. I had a friend of mine call me up and say, hey, they're having a cornhole tournament at this brewery, No Label, down the street, which is a partner of ours. You want to go play? And I'm like, sure, let's go play. And roll up, and I see Poor into Houston. I kind of, you know, I've been involved with nonprofits. I had another one that I was concurrently working at the time. Meet their executive director and say, hey, you know, what are you about? Let's talk nonprofit talk while we play cornhole. I love the mission. I love what they stood for. So I asked to volunteer. I was like, hey, can I come volunteer and help you guys? I got experience, you know, running events and tournaments. I can help in any way you can. I can help today if you want me to. But she expressed interest, and so I met with her, and she offered me a position as the fundraising director. So I had experience with logistics and officially joined the organization, and then we had meetings on how to grow it. But yeah, they had an annual cornhole tournament as their biggest. And these were people that had no idea what ACL was, like me, just backyard throwers. And it was just such an interest to the community that it could get anyone to participate and play. So it was their biggest fundraising event every year. So I was like, hey, that's right up my alley. I enjoy doing that. But that's how I was introduced to Poor into Houston officially, through a cornhole tournament.
Wow.
Nice.
So the cornhole tournament, is that the only fundraising that they do?
No. That's our biggest one every year. We're going to have, in the past, we had, we sold the boards as sponsorship. So we would sell the logo of the brand, and they would have they basically bought the boards. They'd show and market their brand or their logo, whatever it was. And we don't discriminate. We take all sponsors. Anybody out there, all sponsorship. If you're interested in being a part of a big cornhole tournament, we'll feel in touch to reach out to poorintohouston.org. Shameless plugs. I've heard there's shameless plugs on this podcast.
Nothing wrong with that.
We're going to throw them out there every chance
we get. There's no shameless plugs. I mean, we literally brought you on to talk about it.
Right.
So, I mean, talk away. I mean, like I said, the nonprofit is exactly, I mean, my dad personally, he has PTSD,
right,
and he's a veteran. So
thank you for your service.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, getting him to that kind of service though is a different story,
right,
isn't it?
Right, definitely.
I mean, they're kind of hard headed.
Oh man, tell me. No, and that's really was a lot of the growth of me as a person to get to the point where I'm at. You know, I had my personal battles with PTSD. You know, I served, went to Iraq, and everything that comes with it. Yeah, we're hard headed, we're tough. And, you know, we hate to ask for help, we hate to get help. So partnering with organizations that know how to treat those kind of people, people close to me, all of our board members are have dealt with directly or indirectly. With mental health services or mental health conditions, so we feel all passionate about it. You know, I don't have anxiety, I don't have depression, thank God. I don't have you know, other mental health issues, but I know what it's like to suffer with the ones that I do have. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want to reach out to the community, let them know, hey, we cover all of them, and it's okay to not be okay. You know, right. like our little bands here say you guys are going to be wearing says, you know, what's your story? Just opening up the dialogue to talk about what mental health and how important it is, and a lot of the times it's just talking to somebody. You know, that's so hard. So we provided the counseling services to help those individuals, but pandemic obviously changed that for us. So, you know, like talking to you about, you know, whatever your mental health situation is, you might not want to do it virtually.
Right.
Over Zoom or over a Teams meeting. You know, you had that one-on-one connection with the counselor, so you wanted to do that. So that changed our delivery method. So now we had to close the counseling center, but we wanted to keep the organization alive because we all felt passionate about it. So we just changed our delivery method is what we call it. So we keep having events like this, fundraising events throughout the year, like the one we did last year. But our biggest one is the cornhole tournament. Mm. Again, we're looking at November, so mark your calendars. See you out there. We're looking to have the biggest cornhole tournament in the area for sure. Make sure that nothing else gets scheduled in the same. Big collab between all the leagues. I've spoken to definitely both of our directors, Miguel and Chase. Shout out there to them, to our local guys like Chris Patino, we got your six guys, which are also a nonprofit organization down in Angleton. Ricky Reyes and them guys, RB's on board, of course. Buckets is on board. I've talked to Mark. Everybody, we want to make this a huge collab, all for a good cause, yeah. All for a good mission.
Those are all, I mean, heavy hitters in the cornhole community, the Houston cornhole community. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be probably the biggest one you've had so far.
I'm looking forward to that.
And are you directing that? Personally?
No, because, you know, representing the organization, I do a lot of, you know, marketing, because people come up mm-hmm. and say, hey, talk to me about your organization. So I'm more representing Porn of Houston. I might not even play in that tournament.
Okay.
So I'll be helping with the logistics some, but I think it's going to be a collaborative run between Miguel and Chase, who are two directors, and, you know, support as far as boards and everything else, equipment, and between everybody, but we're going to let those two guys do it. They're really good. You guys know they run events seamlessly for
absolutely.
Us. Yeah, let the pros do it.
Right.
We'll just support them.
Right.
We expect to see you two there.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we'll have it marked on our calendars. Definitely. Yeah, I think the weather should cooperate.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
we're
looking
outdoors.
Yeah, we haven't locked the venue down 100%. I'm working on that actually this week to get an act. Now that we have the date set down, you know, we're trying to stay away from the holidays and after Veterans Day because, you know, being a veteran as well, mm-hmm. you know, there's always activities going on. I think the Manic guys down there, they're doing great things down there as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're all veterans, and I think they're doing a big tournament, so we don't want to step on each other's toes. We want to support them. Again, like I said, I have so much love and support from the community. We want to make sure we all communicate and not, you know, step on each other's toes.
Mm-hmm.
Support each other and make every event successful.
So I have a two-part question. One, do you get a lot of veterans or a lot of people that suffer from what y'all are trying to help play in the cornhole tournament?
So, and the cornhole tournament is really open to everybody. So, let me finish a little bit. Sorry, I'm going to clear it up. So, when we changed our delivery method, what we did when we got rid of the counseling is that we became just a fundraising organization. So, all the funds that we raise through all our events, through all our T-shirts and swag sales, any of the fundraising, any donations that come in, so we take it and we distribute it back to the community.
Got you.
So,
okay.
You know, we have organizations that are partnering. Like this year, we're donating to Camp Hope, which focuses on veterans. It's kind of a transitional program to get them on their ground, whether they're suffering from PTSD, drugs, alcohol, et cetera, get them on the ground, get them cleaned up, you know, involved with religion as well, and get them ready for a job, help them find job placement, et cetera. Second quarter, we were working with Bo's Place, which deals with children dealing with grief. You know, it's a really sad cause, mostly brand new orphans. So this program takes them on. Not only as kids, whatever age they are, they follow through throughout their lives, and they check on them every year. And then the third quarter we're going to do with Merrim Now, which just handles just general overall mental health, women's shelters, homeless people, et cetera. Anybody, they deal with the general counseling center.
Okay.
So we get everybody to come out and play.
Yeah.
We support everybody. We get first responders out there as well. You know, first responders, you know, you immediately, you think PTSD, you think veterans, you think war, you think Iraq, you think et cetera. But PTSD happens to everybody, you know, especially in the last 18 months, everything that we've been dealing with this pandemic, you know, all the signs, anxiety, depression, suicide, all that, all this PTSD that caused PTSD has happened to everybody. Happens to you, happens to me. You got teachers that have been, you know, dealing with so much stressful situation. You got parents that lost their jobs that are now at home. You got people that are quarantined that couldn't leave, you know. So all these people experience these symptoms of PTSD and other depression, suicidal thoughts that people didn't think of before. So in the last 18 months, it was the most tough for 501c3s and nonprofit organizations because we didn't have the funding and we weren't able to have events. And it also was the 18 months that brought most of the mental health care need to the forefront. So that's another thing that we want to raise the awareness and make sure to let everybody know, hey, it's okay not to be okay. And there are people like us and organizations like us that provide help. So we get people referred to us and we just put them in the right direction.
Gotcha.
Nice.
So what is y'all's biggest, whenever y'all do throw the cornhole tournament, what is y'all's biggest need?
Our biggest need is players. Really, I mean, just the support comes from it. We're always looking for donation items, raffle items, of course. I think the biggest one was the year before I joined the organization, and they had 72 players or 72 teams. I mean, that's huge.
Wow,
that's huge.
That's a lot.
And this is before I think talking to people, and I think the Hanes were the first ones from that I know from the cornhole community that actually went and tried it out. We're like, you know, because we'd get new boards made with the logo printed, shipped from Florida. With your backyard cornhole bags and, you know, so level the playing field out a little bit. But, I mean, they had a good turnout anyway. People love to play cornhole on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, et cetera. So I think with involving the ACL community and the cornhole community, we'll be good on players. We're always looking for donations. We're going to do raffles. We're going to do giveaways, et cetera. So that's our biggest need, looking for – and the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we're going to do it bigger. We're going to change a little bit. Since the boards are going to be provided evenly to be ACL approved, everything, we're going to do big shout out to you guys, the Buffalo mats that you guys see on their website. So go to Buffalo website, their social media, the mats. We're going to offer the mats as the sponsorship opportunity. So
we'll
get the organizations, the businesses to print their logo or whatever they desire on the mat. And then that during the tournament will be displayed for all to see and view during the tournament. And then after the tournament, they can take it back, hang it as a banner, use it as a mat. But we get all kinds of sponsors. I mean, we get dentists, we get insurance farmers, we get, you know, Kroger's been, so people that can't really do anything with this mat. So we're going to offer the opportunity to do it like a year long sponsorship where our tournaments, you'll see those at our tournaments and they'll get a year long sponsorship. So that's what we're looking for, sponsors. And we'll have all that information here very shortly. We'll be blasting it. We'll be using the social media as well. We'll be tagging all our future sponsors. So I know Buffalo is going to be one of our main ones. We're not going to call it a Buffalo tournament because it's going to be a collab tournament.
Right.
But Buffalo and you guys are going to play a big part, and we're really thankful for that.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I mean, like I said, I mean, we want to promote this as much as possible. I mean, Houston, whenever you hear this, I mean, we need to stand up. I mean, this is a great cause, you know. 72 teams is a lot of teams.
It's a lot of teams.
But I think we can... What, maybe double that?
Double that, yeah.
Oh, easily. We got a goal, guys. There yeah, no, go. I agree. I mean, like I said, Manic's doing a great thing. They had, Jaime and I went last week, had 60-something players.
Yeah, they've been having
on a Tuesday?
At least that on a Tuesday night consecutively. Yeah, I mean, it's mind-blowing what they're doing. I mean, it's awesome what they're doing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, just when you hear the number of players, it's just like, man, we can't even get that amount of players sometimes on a tournament on a weekend, and they're getting it on a weekday.
Yeah,
we had our event last Saturday, which was a big shout out to Billy as well, and collab with Wreck-It, et cetera. We put it on in Kane Island, the guys that supported us. And, you know, that's an example. These guys, I don't know if you guys have heard of Kane Island Baggers, you know, small guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to come up as well. You know, they're the backyard guys, and they showed up with 55 players.
Wow.
And, you know, we had basically a week to promote it, and 55 players showed up. So, yeah, I definitely think with the support of you guys and everybody being on the same page, having a date set, and doing a big team effort, I think we can do it. That's my goal. I have ambitious goals. I want it to be the biggest collaborative tournament that Houston's ever seen.
Oh, yeah, bring that cornhole family together.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
And it doesn't even have to stop in Houston. I mean, we have Dallas, College Station, Austin, yeah. San Antonio. I mean, you definitely want to reach out to those people, of course.
We want to go worldwide, obviously. I want Port and Houston brand, like I said, to be CNN, ESPN, but obviously we're a small organization, so we're, you know, we don't want to get too big. We dream big, but mm-hmm. we also want to understand what our limits are
and
work with our resources that we have here. But yeah, that would be awesome. Have a Port and Houston chapter tournament in every major city, you know. And that's where it kind of, again, it all ties together, is going to these opens, going to these larger conferences where you get to meet people in other cities. You know, I think I have connections and friendships with you guys from my time spent at tournaments here, but I've never played in a Dallas tournament. I never played in San Antonio. So I do know Keith Cabrera out there. I know Vanessa that I've met in other places from the South Dallas people as well. They've offered their support, so shout out to them. But yeah, it's just about, you know, growing sport and growing the exposure. So we appreciate you guys for that.
So if somebody is listening to this podcast right now and they want help because they're suffering, where is the best place to go?
Yeah, go to our website, so pourintohouston.org, or reach out through us social media. Reach out to me directly. And what we do is just kind of help you realize, you know, obviously people that are reaching out for help have gone through that first step, which is I need help. Mm-hmm. Once they realize and accept that they need help and they're looking for it, that's the most crucial step in getting people help, is once they get to that point, because if they don't find it immediately, they get discouraged. Mm-hmm. And that's the toughest part, where you lose them. So reach out to us and then we'll find organizations, and it doesn't have to be locally. You know, we have partnerships here locally, but we know about organizations, you know, nationwide. So yeah, if anybody in the podcast is looking out, and there's other organizations in your area, but you can reach out to us, you know.
Okay.
We'll help place you in the right place, get you in the right place that need help.
So Eric, a local upcoming cornhole player and executive director to Pour Into Houston. Guys, November, it's going to happen. The biggest cornhole tournament Houston's ever seen. Where's the best place if you want to raffle something off, if you want to donate something, if you want to just be a sponsor? What's the best place to go to?
Yeah, so again, our website's our main source of resources. Okay. But yeah, you can reach out to us through social media. We have, which is PIH, at PIH2020 for our Facebook. Our Instagram is Pouring to Houston. Reach out to us through any means. We have people looking out for that stuff. We're gonna come up with an official flyer once we set the exact date in the venue. That's the other thing we're working on, is the venue.
Right.
You know, here it gets hot, but November should be all right. We have existing partnerships with local area venues, et cetera. We're trying to lock that down. I mean, I don't want to throw a name out there that doesn't happen, but we're looking at Buffalo Brewing Company that has multi-levels, and trying to work that out so we can have indoor-outdoor. Maybe divide it up throughout the day, stagger it, you know, because it is going to be, like you said, the biggest event in Houston history. So we want to make sure the venue is a cool place that's, you know, kid friendly, family friendly, dog friendly. Obviously that has a lot to do with it. So we don't, you know, necessarily partner with breweries, especially for a reason, but they are open and it gives us a lot of space to work with, and they're kid and dog friendly. So, but yeah, if there's a business out there, a venue that's listening to the podcast and interested in having us, hey, reach out to me. Maybe we can go some work out.
All right. Eric with Pour Into Houston, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Like I said, if you have any, if you need any information, go to, you know, pourintohouston.com.
.org.
.org, sorry.
Yeah. Pourintohouston.org should be flashing on the screen right now during the podcast.
We'll see what we can do.
Pourintohouston.org. I mean, you can reach out to me directly. Eric Verduzco, eVerduzco at pourintohouston.org. You can call my cell phone. You can text me. I mean, we're here to help. So, and also, if you're interested in participating, being a sponsor, and being a part of Pour Into Houston.
Okay. All right, Buffalo Nation, you've been challenged.
Yeah, it's out there. What Raul said it, right? The largest cornhole tournament
I'll guarantee more than 72.
There we go. Guarantee. Oh, yeah, I'm going to hold him to that. Yeah. I'm going to hold him to that for sure.
Guarantee it. And like I said, you know, whenever you went to one of my benefits, I held a benefit for a close friend who was a police officer. We actually talked a little bit about it. Yep. I had no idea I'd be working here at Buffalo. I had no idea I'd be doing a podcast, but I did tell you that I wanted to help you. So,
I remember that.
Yeah. And me and Jaime, you know, we'll be there. We're going to play, no doubt about it. And we also want to donate something.
Y'all can't play together, though.
We are going to get it. We will be there and we'll bring a partner with us.
Yeah.
To more the merrier. You know, we might be the 73rd team.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But no, the same. We truly appreciate your support. And I remember that. It was probably one of the first times I met you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I meant about earlier about community. That's what I've seen, that no matter if you know someone for 10 years or if you've known them for a month, the community, the cornhole community, has so much support for each other, love for each other. And it's like respect.
Right.
You know, you're going to give as much as you get. You know, so you get respect, you get support. So I've seen that, and I love that about our community. That encourages more as players. So,
have you gotten any donations yet?
In general, we get donations coming in.
For the cornhole tournament?
The cornhole tournament, no, we have not yet.
Oh, like I cool.
Said, we haven't set the date, but we take donations 24/7 year-round, you know, because that's the main driving engine that keeps our organization going, you know. So the more we raise, the more we can help back.
Right.
You know, if we have a down year like we did with COVID and the pandemic, you know, the less we can help the community. So the more donations. So it takes you guys out there to help us help your loved ones, your friends. And there's nobody that's listening to this podcast, I can tell you, that has not how directly or indirectly been affected one way or another with mental health, whether right. it's them, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend. I mean, all the aspects of mental health, we're all human beings, and it's okay not to be okay. And so it takes y'all's help. So again, challenge from these guys: reach out, try to help us. But we're here to help mainly.
Yeah.
Okay. So me and Hyman want to start off by challenging everybody to give donations, right?
Right.
And we will be the first ones. Me and Hyman personally will donate a radar so you can raffle off.
Awesome.
And it's gonna
amazing.
It's gonna be a custom. Pour into Houston.
Oh, yeah. Wow. See, that's
so that'll be your first one. And like I said, Buffalo Nation,
who's gonna be the second?
Yeah, who's gonna be second, third, fourth? You know, let's really get into this. Like I said, I mean, Eric, you were there for my first benefit, right. And I appreciate it, and you know, we love to return the favor. So
that's amazing, guys. Thank y'all so much for that. Thank
you.
No,
you're
well.
Very welcome. Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
All right, Buffalo Nation. So Eric, thank you again. And in your goals for next year as far as a cornhole player is concerned, and we'll see you in November.
Yeah, see you guys. Thank you all so much, man. I appreciate
you're very
it.
Welcome.
Much love.
All right, see you, Buffalo Nation. Mm-hmm.